Good morning, Saints. We've been going through Proverbs during the Sunday school hour as a church, and today I'm visiting from Asia. It's a pleasure to be with you. My name's Corey, for those of you that don't know me. Today we're going to look at the topic of Proverbs and the wise path. Proverbs and the wise path. Many of us, many around the world, so many humans, so many people wander through life aimlessly. They don't know where they're heading, they don't know where they came from, and their entire life is a series of unplanned actions, going from one event to the next, one event to the next. They don't think about their steps, they don't think about the path that they are on, and they wander, wake up, day to day, go to work, go to school, send emails, come home, eat, drink, play, and do this over and over and over again from their youth. And before they know it, they're at the end of their life. And for most, that is very, very bad news that they've reached the end of their lives. And Proverbs is giving us a paradigm through which to view our lives and the world. And that is the paradigm of the pilgrim on the wise path. And as we read through Proverbs and study through it, we're seeing wisdom from different perspectives. And today's perspective is that of a pilgrim. And we see a man or a woman, a pilgrim. And what are pilgrims? They're travelers. They are on a way. They have a destination. So a pilgrim on a path reaching a specific destination. And we're going to see that there are two paths in life. The path of folly and the path of wisdom. And all of us, every single one of us, is on one of these two paths. And let's go ahead and look at our outlines if you have that. If not, you can follow on the screen. And this first section is a call to ponder our path. Like I said, every single one of us is on a specific path, and we should stop and pause and think, which path am I on? Letter A, Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be secure. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Which path are your feet on? Proverbs 21:29. A wicked man puts on a bold face, but the upright gives thought to his ways. He gives thought to the path that he's on. And letter C, lastly, Proverbs 19:2. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Pause is a activity that too few are foreign to. The call to stop, the call to watch, the call to pause, the call to observe, the call to consider, the call to pray, the call to ponder. And as Christians, pilgrims on the heavenly way, we should be those that know how to pause, know how to look within ourselves and look without and observe what is happening. Where am I going? Which path am I on? We should pause. And that is a call that we see throughout Proverbs, to ponder, to pause, to wait. And that last verse that we've just looked at, 19:2, whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. We are not to be those that quickly step. We're not to be those who quickly make decisions. We're to pause and think and ponder our steps. So don't move on hastily. And as we walk through this study this morning for the next half hour or so, I want to invite you to continue to ponder. Pondering is not something we do only in the beginning. Pondering is something we continue to do along the path. Which path am I on? Where are my feet going? How am I living? Where am I headed? And first, let's look at the path of folly. And for each of these paths, we're going to look at the path of folly, and we're going to look at the path of wisdom. And we're going to see on both of those paths are pilgrims. What does the pilgrim and his heart look like on the path of folly and on wisdom? And then we're going to look at the path. What does the path of folly look like? The actual path. How is it? What is it? And that of wisdom. And not only the path, we're going to look at the destination, because every road leads somewhere. What is the destination of the path of folly and the path of wisdom? And then lastly, a warning and an invitation. So we'll look at each of those for each of these paths, but starting with the path of folly, a pilgrim and his heart. So the one who's walking on the way of folly, what does Proverbs tell us about this pilgrim who's walking on the path of folly? What does it tell us about the pilgrim and his heart? Proverbs as a whole teaches us that the pilgrim and his heart lacks sense, the pilgrim is enticed by sin, and he does not think about the consequences of his ways. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 6 and 9 shows us how he lacks sense. It shows us how he's enticed by sin. In this verse, Solomon is looking, and he's looking through the window of his house, and he's observing somebody. Look at what he observes. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple. I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner. Whose corner? The forbidden woman. Taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. So what is the pilgrim who's on the path of folly? He's a simple man. He's a basic man. He's somebody who lacks sense. He doesn't have a heart. He doesn't have a mind. He's not thinking about what he's doing. And not only does he lack sense, but he's enticed by sin. It says that he passes along the street near her corner. He knows where she lives. He knows where her house is. And he's going near. He's enticed by sin. He takes the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening. He's going in a time of darkness. This man, this pilgrim, on this path, he's enticed and led away by his sins. And not only is he enticed by his sins, but he doesn't even think about the consequences. He's thinking of immediate gratification, the satisfaction that comes right now. But look at Proverbs 19, chapter 9, verses 6 through 18. The woman folly, she calls out to simple men like this. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, there it is again, he lacks sense. She says, stolen water is sweet. You see this pleasure in sin. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. He doesn't know it. He's thinking of the pleasure. He's thinking of the sweet bread, the stolen bread that's eaten in secret. But he is not thinking about the consequences. He does not know it. And this is the picture of the pilgrim on the way to folly, on the path of foolishness. He's a man who lacks sense. He's a man who lives for immediate gratification. And he's a man who does not think of the consequences. If you want to know what path any person is on, if you see a man like this, that man or that woman or that child is on the path of folly. So this is the pilgrim. This is his heart. He lacks sense. But what is the path that he's on? Letter B. The path of folly is evil, dangerous, increasingly dark, easy to enter, very easy to enter, and without aim. So when we speak of the path, it's metaphorical, obviously, the way, the path. But this speaks of the conduct of one's life, the choices that they make, the direction that they're in. And in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 17, we see throughout here, just follow along with me, do not enter the path of the wicked, Which path? The path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of the evil. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. So what exactly is this path of folly? What is the path? It is the path of transgressing against the law of God. And that's what we've just seen in this passage we're looking at. Do not enter the path of the wicked, the way of evil. They've done wrong unless they've made someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness, violence. All of these things are summary statements of somebody who is not walking in accordance with the law of God. What is the path of folly? It's the path of transgressing the law of God. It is the path of regular, willful commitment of sin against God. It's a hunger for sin and wickedness. It's the lifestyle where sin is normal and unoffensive as eating. I eat a burger, it's normal, it's natural, not offended. I sin, normal, natural, I'm not offended. This is the path of foolishness. We see that this path is a dangerous path. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked. If any man sets out on the path of folly, it is filled with a million IEDs. Every step you take on this path might blow off your leg or your life. With each turn on this crooked path, you're met with thorns and traps that harm you. It's a dangerous path in the way of the crooked. And you and I, we know this to be true. How many men and women have been crippled, destroyed by the dangers of walking on the path of folly? Just think about it. You know them. We are them. Think about the scars. If you've walked on the path of folly for any length of time, you know the pain very purposefully. You know the things that I'm telling you are true. Look at your scars. Look at your wounds. Remember the pain that comes from walking on the path of folly. The path is full of danger and snares. But to compound the danger of this, it's a path that is increasingly dark. Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness, and they do not know over what they stumble. There is no light on this path. There is no countenance of God on this path. You walk in darkness. You wander in a dangerous minefield, stumbling and falling. It's a path of darkness. So where is this path? If you're wise, if you're pondering your path, you want to ask, where is this path so that I can stay away from it? Where are the on-ramps? Where are the gates that lead to this because I want to stay away from it? Well, the path is actually very easy to enter. Their gates are everywhere. Proverbs 9, verses 13 to 16. The woman folly is loud. Not whispering, not in a corner somewhere, loud. You can hear her. She is seductive and knowing nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She's not inside, she's at the door. Not just at the door, she takes the seat in the highest places of the town. She's where she can be seen. She's calling out to those who pass by. She's not just seen, but she's heard. And she uses her voice. Who uses her voice? The woman folly. This is foolishness personified. And she's calling to whom? To those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. You don't even have to be on the way of folly. You could be going straight on your way, and the woman folly will call out to you. She will make sure that she's heard. She will make sure that she's seen. She will make sure that she catches your attention. And she calls out. She says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. She is inviting. She's welcoming. She's calling the simple, those who lack sense, to turn to her. The path is so easy to enter. The on-ramps for this highway of evil are everywhere. You don't need to drive a half U-turn in order to find the on-ramp. The on-ramps are everywhere. You don't need to find the gate to this trail. The trail will find you. If someone were to ask directions, how do I find the path of folly? We would respond, take a step off the path of wisdom in any direction, and you have found the path of folly. Its on-ramps are manifold and everywhere. And this path that's so easy to enter, and so dark and so dangerous and so evil, is a path that has no aim, no apparent aim at all. Proverbs 5:6, the forbidden woman does not ponder the path of life. Exact opposite of what we were called to do in the verses we read in the beginning. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander and she does not know it. The path leads anywhere and everywhere in the darkness and has no sight of the path of life. So what is the path? This is the path. Evil, danger, increasing darkness, so easy to enter and without aim. But where does this path lead? Let her see the destination. The path of folly leads to death, and once entered upon, it is very hard to leave. Proverbs 21:16. The one who wanders from the way of good sense will rest in the assembly of the dead. Oh. You take a step off of the good way. You wander away from the good way. Where are you? You're on the path of folly. If you're on the path of folly, your way leads to the assembly of the dead. It leads to death. In mythology, Greek mythology, there's the story of the sirens. They're mermaid-like creatures who sing and entice sailors. And in Homer's Odyssey, he speaks of this. On his journey home from the Trojan War, Odysseus is warned about them. And this is what it says in the Odyssey. The sirens who enchant all who come near them, if any one unwarily draws in too close and hears the singing of the sirens, his wife and his children will never welcome him home again. For they sit in a green field and sing him to death with the sweetness of their song. There is a great heap of dead men's bones lying all around with the flesh still rotting off of them. Therefore, pass these sirens by and stop your men's ears with wax that none of them may hear. These enchanting mermaid-type creatures calling to the sailors, and the sailors are drawn in, and they do not realize that these sirens sit on a pile of dead men's bones whose flesh is still rotting. And we don't need to just look to myth to see this reality. Solomon warns us from real life, and even more vividly, in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21 to 27, it's right here, read this with me. With much seductive speech, this is no siren, this is the forbidden woman. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her. Where does he follow her to? What is he like? As an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as the bird rushes into its snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray onto her paths. Why? For many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng, if we could just see the mighty throng that are in her house. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Where does the path of folly lead? It leads to death and destruction. The ox, the stag, and the bird, they do not know that their path is leading them to death, and neither do those who are on the path of folly. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. For the forbidden woman's house sinks down to death, and her path to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. There are some paths. There are some conducts. There are some choices. There are some company whose consequences leave such an unrepeatable damage to our lives, our bodies, our relationships, our families, and to our souls. Some things are lost forever in this life when we choose to walk on the path of folly. Consequences stick. And not only in this life, but repeatedly, continuously walking on the path of folly leads not only to physical death, but to spiritual, eternal death. So this is the pilgrim. He's foolish. This is the path. Wickedness, sin. This is the destination, death. And Solomon knows this, and he gives a warning. Letter D. Do not set your foot on the path of folly. Stay far away from it. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 to 16. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Don't agree with them. If they say, come with us, we shall find all precious goods. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. Some listening today may be about to take a step onto that path. You've glanced, you've heard the woman folly. She's invited you, you've desired, and you've lifted your foot to turn aside. You won't go far, you think. Do not lay your foot down, even for a second. A little step leads a long way, and it leads to death. I remember as a teenager, Pastor Hamer saying, boy, if you don't want to get hit by the trains, stay off the tracks. Don't just stay off the tracks. Don't just keep your foot from being laid on the track. Keep your way far from it, Proverbs 5:8 says. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. I know it's there. I'm not just going to walk by and try to be strong. I am staying away. I'm keeping my way far from here. Where's the way of evil? I am going the other direction. You may need to set barriers. You need to stay away from her house. You need to stay away from temptation. Here's a quote from Charles Bridges. He says, young people are apt to plead with those who have the charge of their best interests. What harm is there in the path or that path? It is far more easy to resist the beginning than the progress of sin. The entrance into the path of the wicked will carry us far, lengths that we could never have contemplated in prospect without horror. It may appear a harmless outlet, but how far on before we encounter terror? The entrance, look at this, the entrance is fatally connected with the next step onward. Those at least that know their own corruption and weakness will shrink back where others dare to tread. To pretend to tread, to dread sin without fearing temptation is self-delusion. The evil company is loved, then the evil of the company. Walk then with God and his people, and separate from an ungodly world. Walk closely with God in secret, and he will spread his almighty covering over you for your security. Avoid fellowship with those who hinder your fellowship with God. What wisdom. Summarizing Proverbs' message on this topic. So that is the pilgrim, and that is his path. That is the destination, and there is a strong warning. Do not step on that path. Keep your foot far from it. Keep your path far from it. But rather, instead of those things, instead of that path, choose the path of wisdom. And to that we now turn. The path of wisdom. So who is the pilgrim that walks on this path? What is his heart like? What is his disposition? What is the man or the woman or the child like who's walking on the path of wisdom? He fears God. He fears the path of folly. He considers his path and sets his face toward wisdom. His heart is the Lord's and his eyes are on God's ways. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. It starts in the heart. We can't disconnect the path of wisdom from the pilgrim who is wise. And we can't disconnect the pilgrim who is wise from his heart. It starts in the heart. From the heart kept with all diligence, flows the springs of life. The step of the foot is a response to the step of the heart. Give me your heart. The author says, let your eyes observe my ways. Without a heart given to God, there's no walking on the path of wisdom. There's a submission, a bending of our wills to God. But not just the heart, but the eyes. He said, let your eyes observe my ways. There's a disposition. When our hearts are God's, then we can see his ways and his paths. The next step to walking on the path of wisdom is to observe God's ways. The pilgrim of the heavenly way has his eyes always fixed on God's way. He's a student of God, and he's a student of his ways. This is a father writing to a son. Children, give your hearts to your parents and observe their ways. I know there are exceptions. There are some parents who are unwise, but those families that are striving to follow Christ, give your hearts to your parents if you're a child. And don't just give your heart to your parents. Observe their ways. Soften your heart towards them. Do not harden it. Soften your will towards their counsel. Observe their ways and bend your ways to theirs. And adults, this isn't just for children. Adults, give your hearts to the wise. You know who they are. Those that fear God. Those that love Christ. Those are that are walking on the path of wisdom. Entrust your heart to them. Be vulnerable. Study their lives and mold your paths to theirs. And if we're to do this to parents or to those that mentor us or to our pastors or to our godly friends, how much more should we give God our hearts and observe his ways? The pilgrim, we're still looking at the pilgrim who's on the path of wisdom, and we're looking at his heart. He has a hunger in his heart for wisdom. And we see this in Proverbs chapter 2. My son, pay attention to what this pilgrim treasures. Pay attention to what his heart is after, what he's aiming for, what he's seeking after. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, not sin like the man of folly. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way or path of evil. You see his hunger, his desire, seeking after wisdom. Proverbs 17:24, his face is set towards wisdom, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. So we're getting this picture of the pilgrim. Proverbs is showing us this paradigm through which we're supposed to view life. And we've seen the pilgrim on the path of folly and the pilgrim on the path of wisdom. What does this pilgrim look like? He's one who has given his heart to God. He's one who has his eyes on the ways of God. He's one who has opened his ears, has humbled his heart, yearns for and hungers after wisdom, searches for it like treasure. He wants wisdom. His face is set in one direction. Wisdom. I want wisdom. I want to follow wisdom. And just like a needle on a compass has his face always setting towards north, sometimes getting knocked off in the midst of circumstances and turmoil, but always going back towards north, in the same way, the pilgrim of the heavenly way, on the path of wisdom, has his face set towards wisdom. And things might turn him off to the left or the right slightly, but he's always trying to be right back on the same path. He has his face set towards wisdom. We have an aim on this path. If you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. The pilgrim has his face aimed at wisdom. So that's the pilgrim and his heart. I want to know, what is this path of wisdom? Letter B. The path of wisdom is righteousness, secure, increasingly bright, hard to enter, and is straight. The path of obedience is God's word. Again, this path is metaphorical. This way is metaphorical. What does it represent? Obedience to God's word. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 to 24. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Commandment, teaching, reproofs, these are the way of life. Proverbs 4, 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Unlike the path of folly, which is in darkness, the path of wisdom is in light, and light that grows brighter and brighter and brighter. We all start out crawling as children, then toddling about, then walking with a few trips, and then we can walk safely. Can run. And as we grow increasingly over time, we're walking as mature adults. And our path is like this on the path of wisdom. We start out with a little light. We start out crawling. But as we keep progressing and keep our face set like a flint towards wisdom, more light comes, more wisdom comes. God guards our ways and he shines light on our path. And we grow and we start to take greater steps, and then we can leap and then we can run. It is progressively growing. This quote from Brown is helpful. As shining light increases from twilight to noonday splendor, so the path of the just increases in purity. But that of the wicked is as thick as darkness, in which one knows not on what he stumbles. The path of wisdom is safe. Look at Proverbs 22:5. Thorns and snares are on the way of the crooked. Whoever guards his soul, that's the wise pilgrim, will keep far from them. Far from what? Far from snares and thorns. It's safe on the path of wisdom. And Proverbs 15:21, a man of understanding walks straight ahead. He keeps on this path. He doesn't take a step off. He keeps straight. There's a helpful quote from Clarkson here. The path which is made bit by bit from farm to farm is likely to wind about. But the old Roman high road that connects two distant cities runs as directly as possible. The plowman who looks no further than his horse's heads will make a crooked furrow. To go straight, he must fix his eyes on the end of the field. He who regards only present circumstances will wander aimlessly. To go right, we must look out of self to Christ, beyond present expediency and full purpose and end of life, and to the full purpose and end of life, above all earthly pursuits, to the goal of the eternal life. We are not short-sighted pilgrims. We cannot be. We must not be. We have our eyes set on Christ at the end. And we walk straight because of that. We're not turning left and right, looking at circumstances, following this and that. We have our minds set up. We have our eyes fixed, and we are going ahead. And when the woman folly cries out from the tops of the city, we are stopping our ears and we are going forward. Where are we going? The destination of the path of wisdom leads to life. The destination is life. Proverbs 16:17, the highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his ways preserves his life. Proverbs 15:24, the path of life. What kind of path? The path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. We need to continue following Christ. When we begin to follow Christ in repentance and faith, we keep following him by turning away from evil, guarding our ways. And when we do this, we continue on the path of wisdom, and it leads upward to life. This verse isn't in the on the screen, but it's Proverbs 2:8. God is guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. We're looking at the destination. Where does it lead? It leads to life. We need to stay on that path. And as we stay on that path and follow Christ to the end, it leads to life. Those who don't persevere to the end will not reach the end. Those who get off the path will go towards death. But those who continue to follow Christ go towards life. But it's not just us. That verse I just read, God is guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. God keeps us. If our hearts are given to the Lord and we're looking towards wisdom, he keeps us, he protects us, he sustains us. He's the one who brings us safely home. And there is an invitation to come onto this path. We've all been pilgrims of the path of folly. If you've been listening to this and you've been thinking, I'm that man of wisdom, you don't get it. We have all walked on the path of foolishness. We've all tread on the path of death. And if you're still on that path, whether publicly and everybody around you know it, everybody around you knows it, or privately in your heart, you know that your footsteps are on the path of folly. God invites you now to direct your ears, your mind, your heart, your eyes, your mouth, and your feet in the way of wisdom. Look at Proverbs 23:19 and hear the call of God through the author of this proverb. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Listen, give me your ear. Be wise, direct your heart. Give me your heart, direct your heart in the way. If you've strayed, bring your heart back to the way. Hear the call of God, his wooing of you. This invitation is for all, even those who are on the path of folly. There's hope. Proverbs 8, we read, does not wisdom call? It calls out to you and to me. Does not understanding raise her voice? Further down, to you, O man, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, O fools, it's not just for the righteous, it's for fools. Fools are invited. O fools, learn sense. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. Love wisdom greatly. Come to the paths of life. It's not too late to enter. And if you know yourself honestly, I hope we do, we know that we've not walked on the path of wisdom well. There's only one pilgrim who has walked on the path perfectly. And if you're on the path of wisdom, there's only one way that you entered this path, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we look at now, number four, Christ and the wise path. He was the perfect pilgrim, letter A. During his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ was the perfect pilgrim. Having his heart committed to wisdom and obedience, he kept his face set straight on the path ahead that God had for him, and he did not swerve to the right or to the left all the days of not even one false step. And his destination led to a glorious resurrected life. We see that Jesus Christ is the pilgrim that is wise. He's the perfect pilgrim. He walked the path of righteousness, and his path of righteousness is credited to our account when we repent and believe. If you're anything like me, when we look at all these verses, you think, oh, when I fell, oh, look at this scar, look at this folly. We are not perfect pilgrims. We are weak. We are pitiful. But there is a perfect pilgrim. And when we turn from our sins, turn from the path of folly, and trust that pilgrim, his perfect pilgrimage is given to us and credited to our account, so that God looks at us and says, there is a perfect pilgrim. Because he's in Christ, and he's on the path of righteousness, the path of life, the path of wisdom, because he's following Christ. Christ is the perfect pilgrim, and we should look to him. As we follow him, we continue to look to Christ. We see that Christ is the wisdom. Look at Colossians 3. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. 1 Corinthians says, but those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Are you searching for wisdom? You'll find it in Christ, and you'll find it nowhere else. In the Old Testament, it was mysterious and hidden, and there were shadows, and now we see clearly on this side of the cross, Christ is that wisdom. He's the one that we set our face towards. He's the one that we follow. Christ gives the wisdom. But not only is Christ the wisdom, Christ is the path. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way. I'm the path. Christ is not only the path, but he's the destination. John 17, 3, and this is eternal life. What's the destination of the path of wisdom? It's life. And for us who are in Christ, that is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Christ is the destination. And lastly, Jesus Christ himself gives the invitation. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The words of our dear, perfect pilgrim. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And I pray that we would be those who heed Christ's invitation, go towards Christ as our destination, walk on Christ who is our path, and have our face set towards Christ, who is our wisdom, so that we can become more and more like the perfect pilgrim. Next week is part 5 of the series, and we will learn about wisdom and stability. Let's pray. Father, help us to follow Christ and walk on the path of wisdom. Help us to stay away from the path of folly. This comes from you, and we need your help. So help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.